Thank you, Kevin, and good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you today. One of the reasons we get together like this on the first day of the week is to press that reset button and to try to resharpen our sense of priorities about living this life that God has given us. There are lots of things that distract, and one of the things that has been borne in upon me this morning is thinking clearly about the usage of our time. How do we use our time? What matters to us and how do we allocate it? I'm thinking of a passage the Apostle Paul wrote in the 7th chapter of the 1st Corinthian letter. This has a larger context that I'll not go into, but I just want to notice about 3.5 little verses beginning in 29, 1 Corinthians 7, 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away, but I would have you without carefulness. I got home Thursday night in time to see the end of the Chiefs game. And it was a tight game in the final seconds. If you're a Chiefs fan, you know the story. I saw in the closing seconds of that game, Philip Rivers or somebody on the other side decide to go with an attempt for 2 points to win the game. If they miss this play, they lose the game. If they make this play, they win the game. If they kick a one-pointer, they tie the game and go into overtime. But he decided to go all or nothing. So I'm all tensed up watching this final play, and I see Rivers has the ball. And in the end zone, there's his receiver standing over there by himself. None of our guys are anywhere near. And they make this easy little pass over there and win the game. And I was just sick. Just sick. I want so badly for the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl after all these years. And I was just sick. And I thought to myself, why does this affect you this way? Why? It doesn't affect your family. It doesn't affect your income. It doesn't affect your friends. It's got nothing to do with anything, but you're all upset. And I started to think, should I even watch these things? Because it seems when I get invested, then I get disappointed. And I started to think about the use of time. I'm not saying I shouldn't have watched it or shouldn't be a fan. But it has to do with this subject, this very same thing Paul was talking about there 2,000 years ago, and which has been stressed in class and since class this morning. Paul declares that time is short, so be careful how you use it. He gives us little insights into occasions where we find it difficult to maintain that concept. It seems that we have built into us a sense of immortality. It's really hard to visualize our own death. We can visualize that of other people, but it's always been somebody else who died and never been us. So it's hard for us to grasp the concept that we really will die and this time here really will end. Somehow it seems like we have a sense that we're going to be different, that we're not going to die. Paul said, or the Old Testament said, that God has built eternity into our hearts, and maybe that's the reason why. We have a hard time realizing that time is short. There are many moments in life where we may tend to feel that the way things are now is just going to last forever. It's just going to go on. One of those moments that Paul points out is the time when we are wed. when we're married. Some of you stood right here when you got married. And as you stand there and take your vows, you're overflowing with a rapturous joy and the anticipation of an unbroken relationship together for the future. No more goodnight kisses and then that long, lonely drive home. Now it's going to be holding one another all through the night as you sleep beside each other. And the thrill, the excitement, the joy, the concept that impresses itself on our mind at times like that is that this is forever. This is just going to go on. Many times I talk with young people who are about to get married, and I try to stress to them the reality of adjusting to one another and what this is going to take. How do you deal with disagreements? How do you deal with areas of conflict that you're going to have? And I'll see them give each other little knowing glances as I talk about these things, because they know that I don't understand the kind of love that they have. Theirs is different. They're not going to have any conflict. Why would they be getting married if they were like that? And poor Rick, he just never apparently has known what true love is, because he doesn't understand our case. This is forever. We have the sense many times that the way things are right now, this is real. This is forever. This is never going to pass away. But time is short. And it does pass, as do many things, all too readily. The second little vignette that Paul gives here in this passage is that of sorrow or bereavement. Somebody very dear to us has died. And the ache in our throat is so great that we feel we can hardly swallow. And grief, like a flood, is drowning us. And we feel like this is just going to go on like this. It's not going to be any different. I can never live a normal life again. And through those days, we feel like this is forever. Never going to feel normal again. But somehow it does ease. The shock is gone. And life goes on. And the grief begins to subside. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy indeed does come in the morning. Time is short, but there are times when it's hard to believe that, because it seems like what we're experiencing now is going to be forever. But the Bible says time is short. And Paul gives us another little scene, a scene of great rejoicing. You've just received a telephone call and you've learned that you won the sweepstakes you entered. And a guy's going to be at your house at noon tomorrow with the big check. And as you're standing there the next day and the reporters are snapping pictures and interviewing you and you've won this tremendous amount of money, the cameras are flashing and you're just excited and you're rejoicing. And you're thinking, I'm never going to have to worry about money again. This is forever. I'm all set. And the next time your doorbell rings, it's somebody from the IRS. Time is short. In those times of rejoicing, it seems like I'm just going to have this elation forever. This is just going to go on. You hear sports heroes say, well, we're here to stay. But somebody else knocks them off the top perch. And it happens so quickly. So often we have the feeling, this is it. This is real. The way it is right now. This is going to last. But the Bible says time is short. Even this shall pass away. The next vignette Paul gives us is the time when we have just taken possession of our new dream car. Maybe it's the only time in your life you've ever done this, and you ordered it from the factory so you'd have just the right packages of equipment that you want, and you checked it over to see that it's absolutely perfect. The right color, the right equipment, the right style, it's all there. and you take it home and you dust it off every day or twice a day. You vacuum out the inside. You change the oil before it even needs it. And you park it at an angle across two spaces so nobody can ding you, or you park out in the corner of the parking lot because it's worth walking two blocks to keep somebody from damaging your new car. You're going to give that car that same tender loving care from now on. You're going to keep it looking like it just came off the showroom floor. But time is short. And before long, you find yourself saying, well, I'll dust it tomorrow. Or I hope I can get it washed next week. I'll get that little ding fixed sometime. And somehow it passes. All of that excitement, all of the glamour, all of the thrill of that new possession has passed. And you start to look at newer models that are coming out. Because the new one has the turbo engine. And if I could just get the turbo engine, I'd really be happy then. It's difficult for us to maintain the concept that time is short. In these little pictures Paul gives us, it seems like time is going to go on forever while we're living it, and that things are going to remain just as they are. This will never pass away. But Paul said that time is short, and because time is short, we mustn't put too much of it into purely earthly things. There's nothing wrong with getting married and enjoying the life with your spouse. There's nothing wrong with experiencing grief when our loved ones die. There's nothing wrong with loving sports and watching sports. There's nothing wrong with pleasure or possessions. But Paul is stressing that we don't have time to overindulge in pleasure or sorrow or rejoicing. We don't have time to be overly involved in possessions because, he says, the fashion of this world is passing away. What's Paul doing? He's giving us perspective. He's talking about priority. He's helping us push the reset button on what we think about the use of our time here. We can't do this for each other. This is a very personal thing. I could no more decide how much television you can watch than you could decide that for me. It would be ridiculous to try to judge one another in these areas. Paul's saying, think about this individually. Look at your own life. Time is short. It's a very difficult concept to maintain, but it's extremely important that we do maintain it. Extremely important that I remember in earthly things that time is short. This is not eternal. None of what's going on here. Even this shall pass away. And thus, I try to keep it in proper priority. Unless I keep this concept that time is short, it's very possible that I will waste my entire life in things that don't count. What a sad thing that would be. John, in writing his first epistle, said the world passes away and the desires or lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. These joys, these sorrows, these possessions, these experiences that we're having here, they're all going to pass away. And only one thing lasts, and that's the will of God. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Here in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul declares, the fashion of this world passes away, saying the same thing the Apostle John said. So we've got those two apostolic witnesses on this. No matter what you possess of this world, it's going to pass away. Therefore, what would it profit you? What would it profit you if for a time you possessed the whole world, but for eternity you lost your own soul? That's what I mean by pushing the reset button. These are not things we don't know. These are things we sometimes overlook. It's important that I realize that time is short in order that I might use my time wisely and wisely set the priorities for my life. We're just a few days away from another calendar year being gone. And we're headed into a new one. 2019. Can you believe that? How high those numbers are getting? Just unbelievable. So the psalmist said, Lord, teach me to number my days that I may incline my heart to wisdom. What's he mean, number my days? Well, I think he's saying, think about the ordering of your life. Set important goals and decide how long it's going to take you to reach those goals. Number your days. We have birthdays. There's nothing in the Bible that indicates celebrating those. In fact, when birthdays are celebrated in the Bible, something bad always happened. But I don't say we shouldn't celebrate them. I'm saying they ought to remind us as they pass by once a year that time is short. And we number our days in the sense of setting goals and achieving them, allocating amounts of time to one thing and another. Teach me to number my days. We don't just live randomly as the children of God. Teach me to know that my days are limited. 70 years is 70. Seems like that's younger than it used to be. And I think we can say objectively that in American life, 70 is not as old as it used to be. I hope that's not just my sense of perspective. I think that's reality. 70 is not as old physically as it used to be. But how long are you going to live? 80, 90, 100? A lot of people living to be 100 now, but even if you do, time is short. Teach me to realize that I need to use the wisdom of spending my time. If I say that eternal things are of greater value than temporal things, everybody agrees. That goes without argument. If I say the spiritual is greater value than the material, everybody agrees with that. If I incline my heart to wisdom, I will spend more time and effort and energy in the spiritual realm than in the material realm. I think everybody agrees with that because that's wisdom. That's looking at life. That's looking at the facts of life from a realistic point of view. And adjusting our priorities accordingly. The eternal is greater than the temporal. That's why we need to put greater focus on developing the spiritual things. We all agree with that in principle. But do we agree with it in practice? That's the question. And that's the question that really only you can answer for yourself. Do we agree with it in practice? And I could give a litany of examples on this. I don't think it's necessary. How much time should you allot to watching football on TV? I can't answer that for you. But I can say that agreement in principle is not enough. I must agree in practice. I must examine my own life and my own use of time, because I am accountable for me as you are accountable for you. And time is short. Surely wisdom dictates to me that I use my time wisely, because I don't have much of it. I don't know how much of it I have. That's one of the things that makes it so interesting, that I don't have the assurance of even one more breath. I just heard this morning of another good friend who passed on. I didn't think he was that bad off physically, but apparently he was. Passed away. And I hear of this, it seems like almost every day, of somebody that I know passing from the scene. And somehow I have the sense that I'm not going to. I know intellectually that I will, but can I grapple emotionally with the concept that one of these days I'm going to die? And that I need to do what I can for the Lord's cause before I will no longer have the opportunity. Paul said, the present scheme of things is rapidly passing away. The world, with its desires and its allurements, is passing away. How quickly the sun sets in the sky. You rise up and say goodbye. Maybe you remember sitting at your dinner table night after night with your little olive plants all seated around the table. And while you're doing that, it just seems like that's going to go on forever. We have people here now who are in that part of their life. When I was living that, it just seemed like I was going to have those little kids forever. But how short is time? And now they sit at their own tables looking at their own little olive plants. Just yesterday we were holding them, bouncing them, kissing them. And now our babies have their own babies. And some of those babies have their own babies. Time is short. And I suppose if we were like Jacob and we were 130, and the Pharaoh asked us, how old are you? And Jacob said, I'm 130. Few and short have been my days. He's 130 years old, but his life seems like a vapor. It's gone by so rapidly. You know what? Even Methuselah would look at it the same way. And few of us are going to live to be even a tenth of the time that he lived on the earth. If you live 1,000 years, it still is like a vapor because time is short. And the question is, what am I really doing with it? Day after day seems to evaporate and they become weeks and months and years. And what am I doing? Only one life, 'twill soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. Am I using it to its best advantage? Or am I wasting it by living after the flesh and giving myself over only to the things that will pass away? God, teach me to number my days, that I may incline my heart to wisdom. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When later I became a man, time ran. When later still I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in traveling on, time gone. Time is short. You don't have time to waste in overindulging yourself in sorrows or pleasures or possessions. Give yourself to the things of the Spirit. Give yourself to developing your eternal relationship with God and helping others to do so. Give yourself to laying up treasures in heaven, as Jesus said, where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal. Wisdom would tell me, spend more time in the things of the Spirit, for time is short. Use the time you have to develop your eternal relationship with God and others. Time is short. You know, I seem to realize that time is short when somebody in front of me is driving too slow and I can't get past. They got both lanes blocked and they're driving side by side and I'm needing to get somewhere. At a point like that, I realize that time is short. Or when somebody's sitting at a traffic light that already turned green 3 seconds ago and he's not moving, then I realize time is short. Or when I've circled the mall parking lot for the fifth time looking for a place closer to the door, we realize time is short then. But what about in the areas where we really put lots of our time? You know, they say if you want to know where your money goes, just keep track of every cent for a month. Put it in the categories. This is easy to do with computers, I'm told. Just put it in the categories of where your money goes. Every cent of it for 1 month, and it's amazing, they say, what you're actually spending your money on. You can do the same with time. Keep track of it for a month. Where does your time go? You might be sickened at what you find. So may God help you this week as you think about these things. In all the demands on your time, don't neglect Him. Don't neglect the spiritual side of life. Use your time wisely in the things that will count forever. That's what we're talking about when the Lord says, laying up treasure in heaven. When you go to heaven, there's going to be a certain amount of treasure there that you have laid up. I don't know all about what that means, but I know what the Lord said. It's possible to lay up treasure in heaven. You lay it up here, it's all going to burn. You lay it up there, you can enjoy it forever in the next world. Time is short. No wonder the Apostle Paul said in another letter that he wrote to these people that now is the accepted time. What's he talking about? Now is the accepted time because it's only now that we have. We have no assurance of any future. We can remember the past, but the future may never come, at least in the sense that we anticipate it. And what we have is the present. That's what God gives us each moment, this present moment. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Hearken to the voice of the Lord and turn not your face away from Him. Now is the accepted time. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow may never come. We have now. What are we doing with now? Is there something that you need to do right now as we bring these proceedings to a conclusion this morning? Are you subject to the call of the gospel? Jesus died for you because He loves you. He has given His blood to forgive your sins. This is a free gift He offers you, and you can take this gift in simple trusting faith by reaching out and accepting it from Him on His terms. What are His terms? He's only had two terms all throughout the history of mankind. 6,000 years, there's only been two things that man needs to do, and that's trust and obey. Trust and obey. Obedience has not always meant the same thing throughout all the ages of time. The terms of obedience have changed. Now in this Christian era, we are to believe that Jesus Christ is who He claimed He was, repent of our sins, confess Him before men, and be immersed in water for the remission of our sins, rise and walk life in a new way, rise to walk in newness of life. That's the way we obey Him now. Trust and obey. You're not going to obey Him if you don't trust Him. And if you really trust Him, then you're going to obey Him. So those two fit hand in glove. As we sing about trust and obey, if you're subject to the gospel call today, or if we can assist you in any other manner in a public way, let us know how we can help you by coming forward to one of these front chairs as we stand together and sing number 644.